Today's shir is Masech Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Gimel. And we will begin Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Samach Beis Amud Beis on the bottom line. Ibailu asked the Gemara Shnei Shitin Sh'amru. When we've been learning that a document has two lines at the end, the space of two lines at the end of the document, which are left empty, that disqualifies the document. So ask the Gemara, how do we measure? How much space does that mean? Does it mean hein v'avirim? Of course, normally when we write a document, when we write anything, there's room left between the lines. So when we speak about the two lines here, do we speak about two lines and the space that surrounds those lines? I dumb up, perhaps when we speak about the empty space, it's the amount of space that hein, that the lines will take up, v'loy aviram, but not the air space above and below the lines. Says the Gemara, Amram Nachma Yitzchak Mestabra, the hein v'avirim. Only when we speak about the lines and the space that's needed around the lines are included. Because, says the Gemara, because Isal Kedatach, if we're going to want to say hein v'loy aviron, that we speak about just the space of the lines, shita achs bloy avira, what could be done with just one line? Shita achs bloy avira, which doesn't have space around it, l'may chazya, what could it be used for? Ela shmamina, from here we must deduce that when we speak about space, hein v'aviram, we speak about the space and the space around it. So the Pasha Pshat, the way the Rishonim of the Rashbam learns the Gemara, is that the lines that are, we're concerned that the person who the Malvo, or whoever, who holding the shtar, wants to add something into his line. And the question is, how much space can he get? How much space does it take for him to be able to add something and it won't be obvious that it was a forgery? The other Rishonim say, and that means we're speaking about the bottom lines that as we started the shiur with. That's how the Rashbam explains the Gemara. There are other Rishonim that say that the Gemara is speaking about every space in the shtar. Whenever we speak about a shtar, of course, we have to be concerned that there shouldn't be room left over for tampering. And when we're concerned that there's no room, that we're not leaving over room for tampering, how much space is involved? Says the Gemara, when we speak about these two lines, again, Rav Shapsi Amma Mishmei Dechizkia, Shnei Shitin Shamru, when we speak about the two lines, B'Ksav Yidei Adam. And the Gemara now introduces a very, B'Ksav Yidei Adam. It's the size of the handwriting of Adam. Because what the Gemara is saying here is that we're using the size of Adam. Seifrim, who are much more comfortable and accustomed to write, especially with a kumis, with a quill, are able to write small letters. But Adam, who are people who don't usually do that, so they are going to write in a larger type of lettering. B'ksavidei Adam, v'loi, Ksavidei Seifer, not the size of the handwriting of a Seifer. Says the Gemara, my Tama, why is that the reason? It teaches us the Gemara, the Kala Mazayif, if somebody would want to do a forgery, Lav L'Gabri Safa Oz Mazayif, he wouldn't go to a Seifer. A Seifer is not going to want to put his reputation into danger, and therefore, he's not going to go to the Seifer. He's going to go to a regular individual who, or he himself may do it. And then when he's going, and therefore, since he doesn't have the experience to be able to write in that small handwriting, he's going to write it in the larger handwriting, which is a cipher writes. And that's why the Gemara says we go with the larger handwriting. That's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. The Yerushalmi, the Ramban calls to Yerushalmi that since this Gemara, this whole halacha that we're discussing in our Gemara actually represents a chumra. All the cases that we're speaking about where there is a concern that somebody might have tampered with the shtar is really a chumra. And since it's really a chumra, when we try to analyze or apply the chumra, we apply it lakula. So sometimes it's lakula to say we're going to go with a larger handwriting, and sometimes it's lakula to say we're going to use a smaller handwriting. It really depends on the circumstances, on the type of concern that we have, and therefore that's the way we look at it. The Rishonim extrapolate from this Gemara a number of halachas. One is that the Gemara just said that we're not concerned that the Sofer will be the one that will participate in doing something wrong. And the reason is because there's a concept of Lomar Nafshei. A Sofer is not going to take a chance of jeopardizing his reputation. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, says that a sick person or a person in labor should not ask an Akum to help because they may endanger a Jewish life. However, Paskins Drama, that one can ask a doctor, even though he's an Akum, to help him. Because again, since he's a doctor, there's a point of Leimar Nafshei. The doctor doesn't want to ruin his reputation, and therefore he won't do something that's wrong. There's another point that the Miri points out from this Gemara. From here we see, says the Gemara, that one shtar could be written, one document could be written with two different handwritings with two different people. Because the Gemara is saying that the concern is that the actual document was written by a cipher, and the rest of the document, the place where there was tampering, was written by other people. So we could see that a document can be written by two different people. The question that I saw some Rishonim discuss is how far do we take this halacha? And there's some Rishonim that want to suggest that we take this halacha even further, and that we take this halacha that one shtar can be written in two different languages. Other Rishonim say that although the Gemara clearly seems to be learning that you could have two different people write one shtar, but that one shtar should not be written with two different languages. Says the Gemara, we started the shir with speaking about Aviron, where we're speaking about the size of the empty spaces, Hein Vaviron. So ask the Gemara, what is the definition of Hein Vaviron? Omer of Yitzchuk Belozo, Kigoyin Lecha, Lecha Zel Gavzer. There has to be enough room that if somebody's going to write the word Lecha on the first line, and directly under it, write the word Lecha on the bottom line, that there'll be enough space for that. What makes the words Lecha so unique is that the Lamed is a letter that has the top sticking up, so needs a lot of room going up. And the Chaf, the end of Chaf, the long Chaf, has it going down. Those are letters that take up a lot of space. And when we speak about empty space, we consider when it's going to have to take up all that room. Alba, Kasavar, obviously this opinion holds that when we talk about empty space, how much are we speaking about? Shnei Shittim, the space of two lines, Varba Aviron, and four spaces, one on top of the upper line and one below the bottom line, below the top line, one on the top of the bottom line, and one below, one for space below the bottom line. And again, the question that many Rishonim point out is that in learning this Gemara is part of the consideration how much whose handwriting we're using. And some Rishonim say that when we say this, in order to diminish the machloikas that we're going to have now in the Gemara, how much space, some Rishonim want to suggest that the difference is in what type of handwriting are we thinking about. And we're thinking about a smaller handwriting, then we give more air space. And when we think about a bigger handwriting, we give less airspace in order. And what accomplishing with this way of learning the Gemara is that these, the chloikis we're going to have now is not going to be that significant. Rochibar Ami Mishmei Du'ulama G'goyin Lamed L'mala V'chof L'ma'ata says you have to consider, but you don't have to consider, he says, that you're going to have these two letters, these two words that take up so much airspace directly on top of each other. His opinion is Shnei Shnitim, the space of two lines of writing, V'shloish Avirim, and three airspaces. Revu Amar, G'goyin Baruch Ben Levi B'shita Achas, he says the space of one ear line, G'sover Shita Achas, the amount of space that you have to leave over is to write one line, V'shnei Avirim, and two airspaces. The simple way of learning the opinion of Rabbi Avua is that he's disagreeing with what we spoke about at the beginning of the shiur a few minutes ago. That we said that the Gemara here is concerned only about ciphering, only about regular people falsifying or participating in falsifying a shtar, but not ciphering. And therefore he does follow that, he says that ciphering will participate. And because he says Seifrim will participate, it's much smaller. And also, the Seifrim know how to write that it shouldn't take up so much space because Seifrim are much more talented in knowing where to place each word that it shouldn't take up so much space. Another pshat that the Taisus Rid wants to explain the Gemara, he says that once you have that much space, it's the opinion of Avua, there's room to already make significant for tampering in the shtar. Another pshat that Ritva says, according to Avua, is that when we speak about shtei shuris, we've been learning in our shiurim that two lines disqualify a shtar, he doesn't mean two lines of writing. He means two lines of airspace. But when you have airspace, that's the room. You have to have a room for line between the airspace. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggests is that Shura Achas v'shtei Avirim is actually the space of two lines. And when the Gemara has been talking about shtei shuris, it speaks about two lines. And the Gemara didn't speak about anything more than two lines. But then I saw that actually the Rimi Gash wants to suggest that Rabbi Avuhu is not arguing. And Rabbi Avuhu is agreeing with the first opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Elazar. Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Elazar said two lines and four air spaces, and that Rabbi Avuhu doesn't disagree. Rabbi Avuhu says, I measure each line with two air spaces. So if you speak about one line with two air spaces, so obviously Rabbi Avuhu's opinion is going to be that when you have two lines, it's going to have four air spaces because one plus two air spaces is one line. And when we think about two lines, it's two lines with four air spaces, which according to that, there would be actually no machloikis between Rabbi Avuhu and Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Elazar. Amarav, lo shanu ela ben edom l'ksav. When we speak about the two lines that are not allowed to be empty in the shtar, that's in the space between where the Edom signed and the body of the document. Aval ben Edom l'sharta, if there's empty space between where Edom signed and the certification of the shtar, there the halach will be a filu tuvanami. Even if you have a much more air space, the halach will be that it's kosher, that the shtar is kosher. Ask the Gemara why. Why is the halacha that if you have air space between the body of the document and the signature of the Edom? Because we're concerned. Maybe somebody's going to tamper, as we've been learning, and write whatever they want in that empty space. And then the chesim yisadi, and then the Edom who are signed under the body will effectively be signing under that falsification. Ben Edom Lasharat Anami. So why should we not be concerned in the space between where the Edom signed and the certification of the shtar, that the person who wants to tamper with the shtar, b'zayi v'kosim ha'edaboy, will add in there whatever he wants, and then we'll have the chasim misadi, and then we'll have the certification of the bezdin on the bottom. Answers the Gemara, what we do is the metayitlei. What that means is we ink that area. We make that area full of ink. And since we make that area full of ink, so there the halacha is that therefore there's no concern that they'll tamper, that somebody will write something there. Actually, Tosfos, the Rashba, and the Rabban say it doesn't mean that we just take and put a blotch of ink over there. Because if we're going to put a blotch of ink there, the person who wants to tamper with the shtar will just completely erase it, and we will have accomplished nothing. What we do is we make holes or different type of things that are not reversible in the shtar, in that spot. And since we make that type of, we do that to the shtar, nobody could, the bezdin, if they come to certify the shtar, will not be concerned that anybody will tamper over there. Ask the Gemara, if we have now introduced a new way of avoiding this problem of tampering with the shtar, if that's the case, ask the Gemara by Edom l'shtar, if there's empty space between the Edom and the shtar, why should we not be considered? Why not be considered? Nami mitaitalei, why don't we just do that over there also, and then we don't have to worry if there's empty space between the body of the shtar and the signature of the Edom? Answers the Gemara, Amri Sada Tiyuta Dechasmi. They'll say that the signature of the Edom are on that as well. That there was, the shtar was empty, and that there was not, they're not saying the Edom signature is only representing that this part was inked, and that they're not saying, people are going to be concerned that they're not saying Edis on the body of the shtar. So ask the Gemara, if when we have a signature under a spot that's inked, we're saying that the signature only represents that you're testifying that that's what happened with the shtar. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, ben Edom l'shtar tenami amri, we'll say that the Bezdin only signed on the inking, they didn't sign on the actual shtar. Answers the Gemara, Beidina Dutel Chasimi. Bezdin, when they put their signature on a shtar, know that they're not just going to be considered that they signed that this part was inked. And they of course made sure that everything that's in the shtar is accurate and honest. Edom aren't that familiar, and somebody could fool them to believe that we need Edom just on this inking, and not, and your signature has nothing to do with the shtar. Ask the Gemara, even if we're learning now that tiyuta, inking in the area, is a good approach, how to avoid problems, v'lechish, them the guys leila ela, why should we not be concerned? Maybe somebody's going to cut out the entire shtar. He's going to leave just the ink part with the part that is with the signature of the dayanim, the certification of the dayanim. But then machik leila the yuta, he'll erase the part that was inked, the kasamai d'bayi, and he'll write on that spot whatever he wants. And then, omachtim sadi, he'll bring Edom to sign on that, and vama Rav, and Rav teaches us, shtar habo hu ve'edov ala machak, a shtar that is written on erased paper, the aloch is kosher, the aloch is that such a shtar is kosher. So why should we not be concerned that somebody is going to do something like that? So says the Gemara, Hanicha le Rav Kahana, according to the opinion of Kahana, the Masnei Mishmei the Shmuel, that says that it's only Shmuel's opinion that a shtar that's written on erased paper is kosher, but Rav disagrees and he holds that it's possible. So therefore, I don't have to worry if there was an erased part, if there was a part that was inked and then it's erased, because according to the opinion of Rav, such a shtar is possible. Ella, Rav Tavyumi the Masna Mishmei the Rav, who says that it's Rav that holds that a shtar that's written on an erased piece of paper is kosher. So Ma'ikla Meimer, how can we ever have that a shtar should have on it a part that is inked? Why? How can we ever allow that? Because somebody could just erase that part, and once somebody erases that part, then the halacha will be you could write on top of it. Because according to Rav, that the Gemara says the shtar will be the shtar could be the shtar is still kosher if it's written on an erased piece of paper. And the way to learn this Gemara is that the Gemara here is learning now that when we speak about tiyuta, it means inking and just inking and nothing else. Ksavar, says Rav Kolkai Gavna, whenever we have a shtar that was written on an erased piece of paper, we cannot rely on the certification on the bottom because we don't know what happened on the top. What we need to do is bring the Edom and ask the Edom exactly what happened. Rabbi Yochanan Aloy Shano Ella Ben Edom Leksav. When we speak in the Brisa that when we have the empty space when we speak about the Edom signature and the writing, Ava Ben Edom La Sharta, the space between when Edom signed the shtar and where we have the key in Mashtar, we're concerned about different things that could be tampered with the shtar. She says, because of that concern, a filah shita achas, even one empty line, possible would disqualify the shtar. So ask the Gemara. So we've been learning halachas about empty spaces on a shtar. And one halach that we've been learning over and over is that empty space between the body of the shtar and the Edom signature, two lines. Now we're learning between the Edom signature and the certification, the hempik, even the slightest amount is possible. So ask the Gemara, Mashna ben Edom LaSharta, why when we have empty space between where the Edom signed and the certification? Because we're concerned, somebody's going to cut off the upper part of the shtar. What we're going to have is the kiyum, an empty line, the cost of who, and the person who wants to tamper with the shtar is going to write there whatever he wants to write. And he'll be very careful to write it, that he should write it in the following fashion, because he only has one line, because there could only be one empty line on top of the Edom signature. So he'll be careful to write on that one line whatever he wants to write, plus the signatures of the Edom. Below that, immediately you'll have a kiyum hashtar, a hempik, a certification. Kosov Edom Shita Achas, that the body of what he wants to write plus the Edom will all be on one line. The Kosovar, and Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, Shtar Haba Huva Edom Shita Achas is kosher, is a kosher shtar. Yochi, if that's the case, Ben Edom Leksav Nami, so then we should be concerned that Dilma Gais Leliloi, the Kosamai Dabai, the Chasim Asadi. So why are we being allowing one line between the body and the signature? Even one line should be a problem. Says the Gemara, Ksav Ishtar Bahu Be'ushit Achaz, V'shed Be'achar is possible. We don't have to worry about that. Ask the Gemara V'leichish, Dilma Kosav Hu Edav B'shit Achaz, Amma, and no, so maybe what I'll do is, we learned earlier that one of the ways to avoid the problem of adding Edom, of when you have empty spaces just to add Edom. So ask the Gemara, why should we not be concerned? He's just going to add Edom in that spot. Leichish Dilma Kosov who the Edom Shita Achas, it will all be one line. And then when you'll have Edom on below it, he'll say, no, Rabbis Edom will divide them. In such a case where you see too many Edom under, and you have to be concerned that maybe there was empty space there, we don't use the Edom on the bottom of the paper, we only use the Edom on the top of the paper.